Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This shir should be a schus for Yisrael. Chaim ben Chana Rochel, Zahra Shel Kayama. Amos ben Shoshana Rezel, Zahra Shel Kayama. Harifur Shlema for Rabbi Menachem and Gittel Noah Brian Dalea, Besoch Shaar Chole Yisrael. And a Zivuk Hogun for Rochel Bas Keula and Yudalev ben Chaim Meir. We're going to be learning the Maimer Yud Gimel and the Pachat Yitzchak on Chanukah, B'siyata Dishmaya. The Rambam notes at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah that the story of Chanukah transpired during Bayis Sheni. The Yavanim were Gozer Gzeros, and there was a happy ending, Baruch Hashem. We were victorious, we lit the candles, and therefore we have 8 days of Chanukah. These are Yemei Simcha V'Halel. So the Rambam emphasizes Bivayis Sheni, Yishemalcha Yavan Gazu Gzeres Al Yisrael. It was Dafkan during the second Beis Hamikdash. In the Brais and the Gemara, it is not noted that it was during the second Beis Hamikdash, from the fact that the Rambam opened up Hilchos Chanukah, noting that this story transpired during Bayis Sheni. It means that that's part and parcel of Chanukah. Not only what happened, but when it happened. Not only that, but the Rambam very famously notes that Chazra Malchus Liyisrael, that the Chashmonaim became kings, and the kingship returned to the Jewish people. So that also would seem to be, according to the Rambam, part of Nes Chanukah, that Chazra Malchus Liyisrael, that the Jewish people regained the kingship. And it wasn't just the Jewish people, it was the Chashmonaim. It could be the Rambam was medayik from the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Ukshagovra Malchus beis Chashmonai v'nitzchum," when the Malchus, when the kingship of the house of Chashmonai was victorious. So Rambam notes that it was Malchus beis Chashmonai, even though the Malchus beis Chashmonai wasn't yet the Malchus, weren't yet kings. Nevertheless, they're called Malchus Beis Chashmonai, Al Shem, the future. And the Rambam learns from the Gemara that emphasizes that they were called a Malchus, that that's part and parcel of the miracle that we regain the kingship. So the Gemara asks, "My Chanukah?" And the answer is, part of Chanukah is not only the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, but part of Chanukah is the fact that we got the Malchus back. Whatever the Makor of the Rambam is, we have to understand the Rambam behistaklus pnimis. We have to go to the depths of this Rambam, understand the importance of Bayis Sheni and the importance of the Malchus Beis Chashmonai. Knisasim says Rav Hutner, Maran Zatzal, and Ois Beis. Knisatan shel Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. I note, by the way, that Rav Hutner's Yurtzeit is on Chof Kislev, which is coming up. Knisatan shel Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, bayi mibchina kfula. We have a dual entrance into Eretz Yisrael. We have Bia Rishon and Bia Shnia. So Rav Hutner, kimat every maimer in the Pachad Yitzchak, uses the standard approach of the of Beis Brisk, creating or showing, just demonstrating that there are really two dinim, two elements at work, at play here at work. At work and at play. When you're learning Torah, you're working and you're playing. It's called a Shashua, and it's also called an Avoda. In any event, it says, Botziacha, Sam Mitzrayim, Tavdunas Elokim al Harazeh. Torah is called Avoda. In any event, what am I trying to say? Ah, so here it's beautiful. Here we came into Eretz Yisrael with two bios. We have Bia Rishona and Bia Shnia. So here you don't have to be an Einstein or Lahavdil Rav Chaim Soloveitchik to break it up into two dinim. We have it explicit that we have the first bia into Eretz Yisrael, the first entrance, and the second. And we already, it's rooted, this duality is rooted in Shiras Hayam. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzukanita. So the first Havara is in the time of Yehoshua, and the second Havara is in the time of Ezra, and these two Havaros are equated to each other. And first Havara, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, is the time of Yehoshua, and Ad Yavor Amzukanisa, until they pass this nation you acquired, that's the time of Ezra. The Chachamim explained this hekesh between the two bios, this equation, is that Ruyim Hayu Lenisim Bevia Shnia Keder Shailam Nisim Bevia Rishona. We should have had Nisim happen to us in the time of Ezra. We are worthy of Nisim happening to us in the time of Ezra, just like they happen in the time of Joshua. Ela Shagaram Hachet, however, sin caused us not to have these miracles happen to us. Meaning that Bevia Shnia, we needed the Rishus of Koresh, we needed the permission of Koresh, and in the Bia Rishona, we came in Biyad Rama with a raised arm, and we captured Eretz Yisrael. So, Bahashkafa Rishona would seem that because there was a chait, because there was sin, we nullify the hekesh of Havara Shnia to Havara Rishona, that there is no longer a hekesh between the second passing over to Eretz Yisrael, where there was no miracles, and the first passing over to Eretz Yisrael. But this is a mistaken presumption. The chait only caused that the hekesh should be pushed off. So this is already the third chiddush in the Maimer, at least. First chiddush that it's dafkan bayis sheni, the Rambam notes. Second chiddush is that part of the Yeshua was the malchus of the Chashmonaim, and he was medayiket from the Gemara. Gemara says shegavra malchus beis Chashmonaim, and now we have a chiddush that the hekesh of ad yavor amcha Hashem ad yavor amzukenisa, that we're supposed to equate between the first and second comings, as it were, you can use that term, if it's permitted. It was not completely nullified, even though there was sin. It was only suspended, it was postponed until a future time period. When will that be? That will be the Zman of the Chashmonaim. Then we will fulfill the Yad Rama, the raised hand, and we will defeat the enemies and destroy them. So we learn that the Havara Shnia is counted on two levels. There is the Havara in the time of Ezra, and then there is the Kiyum of this Hekesh. There is the fact that we came over in the time of Ezra, that is not anymore equated to the first Bia to Eretz Yisrael, but the fulfillment of the Hekesh, of equating the first to the second, that was fulfilled Taka in the time of the Hasmoneans. They were obviously English high school kids. That's the name of the school in high school. Where did you go? I went to Hasmo. I love those Hasmo kids. Anyway, v'lo'od, not only that, says Rufutner, elo shekiyum habiyad rama b'biyah shnia bahu derech ma'balas n'shayavanim. This kiyum of Yad Rama, of coming with a raised hand, of capturing Eretz Yisrael, that happened during the time of the Chashmonaim, came through the downfall of those Greekers, of the Greeks. So we have to understand the unique character of the redemption of Yavon through the Yad Roma, through the raised hand of Bia Shnia. In the Nevuah of Yirmia, so we have now that the Bia Shnia was done in the time of Yavon. That was when the Hekesh was completed, and we captured Eretz Yisrael, Biyad Rama. So now we move on in the Maimer to Os Gimel. B'nevuaso shel Yirmiyahu Matzinu al Kein. He come Aryeh Miyar Zeba Rabbis Yishtadim Namar Shoked Al Arehem. So this pasuk, according to our sages, is talking about the Malchios that are being Mishabed, that are enslaving the Jewish people. The Aryeh is Bavel, the lion in the pasuk. The Aryeh Miyar is the Bavel, is Babylonia. Get off at Babylon, switch at Jamaica. Just took the LAR one too many times. The Ze'ev, the wolf, is Greece. And the Namer, numero uno, the Namer, the leopard, is Greece. So the wolf is Madai. Did I say the wolf is Greece? I lost my train of thought for a second. The wolf is Madai, and the leopard is Greece. So it is clear that this drasha of Chazal is founded on the dreams in the book of Daniel. There the Malchios are compared allegorically to these Baalei Chaim. So since we're in the parasha of Yavon, we will explain what the pshat is. Namar, namer, this leopard that shoked al arehem. That is, shoked is actually a very interesting word. It can mean a shoked, it can mean a nut, it can mean to do very quickly. It can mean person learns b'shkeda, it means that he learns very diligently. It can mean, I once read an article close to 20 years ago in the journal Shmatin, and the word shaked, what the word shaked, shoked, in all of its different forms. So here you have this namer that is shoked on the cities. So we want to understand what this namer, what this leopard is all about. By the way, for those who want to look up the pasuk, that's always a good thing to do. It is in Yirmiyahu, Perek Hey, Pasuk Vav. And the Mitzudas David renders Shoked, Yemaher Lavo al Rahim Lashchisam, will quickly come to their cities to destroy them. So now we continue understanding this Namer, this leopard, we'll call him, who is quickly looking to destroy the cities, who is Yavan. Hine kol Yisrael mekablim alehem ol malchus shemayim al yedei pasuk rishon de kriyashma. All the Jewish people are mekabel malchus shemayim with the first pasuk of Shema. So, what is the kabbalah of malchus shemayim of Shema? It's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Shema Yisrael is only a hakadama. Listen, Israel. That's only preface to what we actually want to be mekabel malchus shemayim. It's not so important. However, that is also a mistaken premise, because the words of Shema Yisrael are not just an awakening and opening for all Malchus Shemayim, they are part and parcel of the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim. In order to understand that, we have to learn the difference between an Apikoros who is an idolater and an Apikoros who is a Jew with respect to the din of Dama Shetashiv L'Apikoros. The Gemara says that you should only answer an Apikoros Akum, a Gentile Apikoros, but don't answer an Apikoros Yisrael, because if you try to answer him, he's going to become more of an Apikoros. We've seen that before. What's the difference between an Apikoros Yisrael and an Apikoros Nachri? We find in Hilchos Tumas Kohanim that a Poreik Ol, somebody who throws off the yoke, is called a Poresh Midarkei Tzibur. We're looking at the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Ebel, Halacha Yud. And we find that a Poresh Midarkei Tzibur is not connected to Avaryonus, to sinfulness. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Gimel, HaPoresh Midarkei Tzibur, Aparvisha Lo'ava Avar Averis. If a person separates from the path of the Tzibur, even if he wasn't over an Avera, he has just separated himself from the Jewish people, Mela it seems. So you see that it's nothing to do with Avar Yonis, just the very fact that somebody separated himself from the Jewish people. So Mela we see that this Porek Ol, who is Poresh Midarkei Tzibur, because we saw in the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Kohanim that a Poreik Ol is considered a Poresh Midarkei Tzibur. So this Poreik Ol, who is separating himself from the ways of the Tzibur, is not because if he's an Avarian, his Prikas Ol, his throwing off the yoke, is not because it's an Avarianus. Rather, it's because Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is considered the Darkei Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And the Poreik Ol is called Poresh Midarkei Tzibur even without the rishus and avaryonus of Prikas Ol. So you can have a Poreik Ol who just throws off the yoke, he doesn't want to keep mitzvahs, and you can have a Poreik Ol who is Poresh Midarkei Tzibur if he's keeping the mitzvahs, just the very fact that he does not want to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, assuming for a second even that it wouldn't be an Avera not to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, just the fact that he is separating himself, he's distinguishing himself from the rest of the community, that itself is a mice of Prikas Ol. And the depth is that we see this in an explicit halacha. The halacha is that mumras can be in two ways. You can have a mumr lahachis. You can have a mumr who does an aveira just to get God angry, kiviyachol. And then you can have a and that's even one aveira. And then you can have a mumr l'te'avon l'chol ha-Torah kula. So you can have a mumr lahachis, even one aveira, and then you can have a mumr l'te'avon for kol ha-Torah kula, a person who's transgressing the Torah just because he has a hearty appetite. He has a hearty appetite for unkosher food, and he has a hearty appetite for other things we won't talk about. So such a person is a mumr l'chol haTorah kula. V'areya over l'teovan al kol haTorah kula ain kam prikas ol klal. If a person is over on the whole Torah, b'teovan, just because he has desires, he has taivas, he has a hearty appetite, that's not called prikas ol. Because te'avon is mafkia mitaras prikasol. He's not throwing off the yoke. He's just trying to have a good time. So if the aveir, if the din of a mummer, that a mummer is like a goy, that an apostate Jew is like a goy, was only because of the chomer aveir, because of the seriousness of the sin, we would not judge somebody who was over al kol haTorah kula like a mummer, because he's just doing it because he's enjoying himself. So why would he be a mummer? But the answer is that prikas ol is considered prisha midarkei tzibur, because kabbalas ol is part of the darkei tzibur, and therefore if somebody's over al kol haTorah kula l'te'avon, even though there's no inyan of prikas ol, because he's not throwing off the yoke, he's just trying to have a good time, he's no problem with the yoke, but since self he's over al kol haTorah kula, it emerges that there's no place, we don't see any kabbalas ol, so therefore he's not included in the darkei hatzibur, and he's not one of the community, he's excluding himself from the community. And this exclusion from the community is what establishes his din as a goy. So this porek ol, who's porish midarkei tzibur, it's not on the tzad hashlili, on the negative side, that he's porish and he's porek. Adarabba, it's the tzad hachiyuvi. As long as you don't see kabbalas ol, the positive kabbalas ol, that is considered a yitzia mitoch haklal. So it emerges from this that just like prikas ol is a prishim and atzibur, even without the aveira, like we said before, even if the person wouldn't do any aveira by being porek ol, he would still be considered a porishim and atzibur, because because he's not part of the community. Somebody who's not doing the mitzvahs is not part of the community. So on the other side of the coin, kabbalas ol makes yourself part of the community even without the mitzvah aspect. He says just like without the aveira aspect, a person who doesn't do the mitzvahs is still not considered part of the community because he's porish menat sibor and he's porek ol. But not mitzvah the aveira of porek ol, just the fact that he's not including himself in the community. So too, somebody who is makabel ma'ol ma'chus shamayim is included as part of the community, even if it wouldn't be a mitzvah. Not mitoras mitzvah. So those are the two dinim here. There's the couple. You can have kabbalas ol mitoras. You can have prikas ol b'toras aveiro, person doesn't aveiro lahachis. You can just have somebody who's not makabel ol, and that in itself is by prishim midarkei tzibur without the aveiro, just because he doesn't make himself part of the community. O mipnei kach, and then you have somebody who's makabel ol that makes himself part of that. That includes him in the community, and because of this, we can taste in the words Shema Yisrael the gufa de'uvda of kabbalas ol. So it's not just a psicha and an isorus for kabbalas ol. It's not just like an opening. You know, get ready, Rabbi said, we're about to be makabal ol machus shamayim. It's more than that. It's the gufa de'uvda of kabbalas ol. Because these words of Shema Yisrael are understood by us as an announcement of kabbalas ol machus shamayim, of the Darkei Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is an explanation of the essence of Kabbalas Ol. Besides the mitzvah, there's also a hachnosas atzmo of Klal Yisrael. Because Kabbalas Ol is Derech HaTzibur. That's why he's saying, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel, that you're including yourself in the community of Israel, that besides the Shem Mitzvah Shebedavar, besides the mitzvah aspect of Kabbalas Ol, you're including yourself in the community by saying Shema Yisrael. So Shema Yisrael is part and parcel of the Kabbalas Ol. So when you answer, not be kairis nachri, so that's bebchinas im lo yo'il, lo yazik. If it doesn't hurt, it won't. If it doesn't help, it won't hurt. So even if the apikoris nachri isn't makabel what you said, he's not any worse than he was before. He's going to remain the zelba apikoris. He's going to remain the same heretic. But an apikoris Yisrael is different, because if you answer him and he doesn't accept the answer, pakar tfei. Because an apikoris Yisrael is parish midarkei tzibur besides the etzem apikorsis. So if he rejects the answer that you give him, so this rejection is a deepening of his prisha. Now he's even further away from the Jewish people. Because this rejection of the answer that one gives him is another movement in his opposition to the Dark Eight Seabor. And that's what it means that an Apikoros Yisrael Pakratzvei, a guy. So he doesn't believe, so beforehand he was a sinner, and now he's a sinner. So nothing changed. But so if you didn't help him, you didn't hurt him. He's the same Apikoros that he was before. But this person, by the Maisa of rejecting your answer, the Jew is deepening his detachment and his disconnection from Klal Yisrael. And that's only by a Jew who, besides the Gufa Kfira, also has a Torah's Parashim Darkei Tzibur, but an Apikoros Nachri, there's only Gufa Kfira. We don't talk about a Tzibur by Nachri, and as far as the Gufa Kfira, so he's the same Kofar before that he was after. But the Jew is now more Parish Darkei Tzibur, and therefore don't answer an Apikoros Jew. So if we look at the essence of Galus Yavan, we see a big Chiddush. We find in Chazal that in the Bris Bein HaBsarim, we have an allusion to all four Malchios. The first Malchios, the Jewish people, were amongst the Goyim, Bavel, Paras, Edom. But during Galus Yavan, we don't find that the Jewish people were ejected from the land. Were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So how do we find a pasuk in the Bris Bein HaBsarim, which is an allusion to the Arba Malchios, that they're going to be Be'eretz Lo Lahem, in a land that's not theirs? We're talking about Galus Yavan also. In Galus Yavan, they were in Eretz Lahem, they were in Eretz Yisrael. אלא שעניין זה עומדו על יסוד איתן שמומרים לא קיבלו חלק בארץ. ארץ ישראל רק לציבור ניתנה, ומכיוון שפריקת עול הווה פרישה מדרכי ציבור, בוודאי שמפקיעה את בעליה ממתנת הארץ. So this is standing on the very strong foundation that Mumrim were not mekabel chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was only given to the Tzibur, and since prikas ol is prishim midarkei Tzibur, it definitely excludes those Mumrim, those Porshim Midarkei Tzibur, from the Matan of Eretz Yisrael. If you talk about a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, from somebody who's mafkia himself, who excludes himself from Klal Yisrael, that is a self-contradictory, an internally inconsistent statement. You can't talk about a chelek in Eretz Yisrael for somebody who's mafkia himself, who removes himself from Klal Yisrael. And that's the Chiddush Hanora in the essence of Golas Yavin. Through the Gzeros of Shichas HaTorah and Havaras HaMitzvahs, and the lachatz, the pressure that we felt under Yavan of their deos and their hashkafos, so Yavan was able to create an Eretz Lo Lahem in Eretz Yisrael itself. Incidentally, that's what we do. We light the menorah. We light our Chanukiah, so that's the Zeichel menorah. So we're that menorah. We kibiyachol. When we were living in Eretz Yisrael, but we were on Goyisha, the Goyim had taken over. So now, even when we're in Chutz La'aretz, so the menorah is supposed to be Chutz La'aretz dik, but we do fakert. We kilu put ourselves back in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, we were kilu mafkir ourselves in the Beis HaMikdash because the Goyim were in control. The Goyim came and were mechal of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we're attacking that. And even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we light the menorah and we make it Beis HaMikdash dik. Akopanim, I saw something like that once in the Sefer Zev Yitrov, when I was waiting online in the post office in the Rova Yudi, probably 15 years ago, if not more. So why do I remember that? I don't know, it just sticks out of my mind. It was an enjoyable wait on the line in the post office. Always bring your Zev Yitrovs, or your Pachad Yitzchaks, or your Talmud Bavlis to the post office with you, and I guarantee you, you'll get a lot of learning done. it could be a long wait sometimes. Anyway, mein Teire Zisist Freinlich. Let me tell you what's going on over here. So here in the time of Yavan, we had an Eretz Lolahem. But where was our Eretz Lolahem? In Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it was B'chinas Galus. Because the Yavan is a Malchutz that strives to create a Matzav of Mumris in Klal Yisrael. They have their Hashgafas. They want to play around with our minds and make us into Mumrim. And what's a mummer? A mummer is somebody who has no chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when they're sholeit in Eretz Yisrael, their whole mahus is trying to make us mumrim. that we don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what their shlita in Eretz Yisrael means, that we're in Eretz Yisrael, but we're not sholet in Eretz Yisrael. So even within Eretz Yisrael, Yavin has shlita. Even within the Jews, they made us mumrim. So this makes Galus Yavin in some way much worse than the other Galios. So you can have somebody who goes to a foreign land, a son, and he's in Galus. So we understand. He's so far away, we understand that he forgets his father. But then you can have a son whose mom is walking around his own house, and he treats his father like a stranger. He forgets his name, he forgets his father's name. And that's what happened in the time of Yavan. And that's what Yirmiyahu said, Nomar Shoken al Areyam. And the Chachamim say that this leopard is Yavan. Because the other two Galios were called Zev. Aravos. Alkeim hikamar miyar zeev aravos. Yishtadim. Yishadadim. Namer shoken al arehem. So you have the zeev aravos and the arye miyar. So the zeev aravos and the arye miyar. That is when we were sent to Chutzlaretz. But what do we say here? We say Namer Shoked al Arehem. A Namer is Shoked on their cities, which means that Yavan got us in our city. As opposed to the Zev, you have the Zev Aravos. The Zev that sits in the desert is gonna cause us problems. And then you have the Arye Miyar. You have the lion from the forest. But here it doesn't say that we're in our cities. But here it says Namer, this Namer, this animal, this leopard we'll call it, is Shoked, is going to quickly destroy your cities, meaning he gets us in our cities. And that's the Omek of Golus Yavan, that it's a Golus within the Geula. It's a little bit like we have today in Eretz Yisrael. On one hand, we're here, Baruch Hashem, I'm here in Eretz Yisrael. But there's still a shtickel galus. We still have a gentleman in Washington, D.C. Tall, dark skin, skinny, articulate. So he is really in control in many ways. And we are always looking over our back to see what they're saying about us. And it's not a complete gula yet, but we're on our way, sweetest friends. Amir Tashem. Pretty soon, Mashiach is going to come, hopefully today. And be Golas, and everybody's going to come not only from Washington but from all the other states to Yerushalayim, those who are Zochet, those who aren't Zochet, something else, but those who are Zochet, Mir Tashem, will have the Gulash Lame. When we talk Kach, we go back to where we started. Tofsim anu mibifnim et ha-malach shel ki ha-biyad rama, t'biyah shniya, t'tkeim dafka derech gulat yavan. We saw before that the Yad Rama of the second Bia wasn't fulfilled in the time of Ezra, but rather in the time of Yavan. Galut v'galut v'geula shela. Each galus has its own geula, and each tzara has its own purkan, has its own redemption from the tzara. And this is how it goes. B'shasha galut perusha garush gerush min ha'aretz. When galus means that we were ejected from the land. So the geula can be that we're allowed to return to the land, and that's the geula of paras. We were kicked out, and now they allow us to return. Persian media allow us to return to Eretz Yisrael. That's Biyashnia. But when you have a galus that is not leaving the land, it means that we no longer have the matan of Eretz Yisrael. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have the matan of Eretz Yisrael because it's mumrus. Because they try to make us mumrim because they controlled Eretz Yisrael, the Greeks. So the geula and the Yeshua from this galus has to come through us ruling over, this is Mayurtik, ruling over Eretz Yisrael, and that's what Geulas Yavan is. And Geulas Yavan has to be, Makabil, it has to be parallel to Golas Yavan. What's Golas Yavan? That the Goyim are ruling both physically and spiritually over Eretz Yisrael. So the Geul of Yavan must be that we are ruling both physically and spiritually over Eretz Yisrael, not just that we came back and conquered it, but that we have Dafka, we have rulership over Eretz Yisrael, we have Malchus. And then we know the there's no longer chisaron and biyashniyah of yad rama. Before him we didn't have yad rama, but now we have our yad rama. So the chait, as we saw before, just postponed the yad rama. Why did we not have yad rama and biyashniyah? Why did it wait until yavan? Because it was a punishment. Garam hachait, the Gemara says, we should have had nisim like in the time of Yehoshua, but garam hachait. So we can distinguish here. In this onesh, some wondrous distinction. Ki be'etzem onko shel malach ha'onesh, enenu motzim tzinor shel chesed mekaleach shefa tal u'mashken achalatan shel Yisrael lidorot. In the depth of the process of this punishment, we find a pipeline of chesed that flows a bounty of dew and waters the portion of Israel for the generations. The Jewish people have an explicit haftach in the Torah, ve'viyacha, ve'itivcha, ve'hirvacha, me'avosecha. Hashem's going to bring us, and He's going to give dugut to us, and He's going to make us many from our forefathers. So this haftach of hatova me'avosecha was miskayin when it says, avosecha lo nischayvu ela al-achar yuddalet shana, sheva shakavshu v'sheva shechilku. V'atem, it's interesting, I'm doing that Gemara right now at the end of Zvachim, Kishmak, that the Jewish people, our forefathers, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, at Be'er Rishona, when they left Egypt, and then after the Midbar, when were they chayav in the mitzvah of Tliyas Baretz after 14 years? 7 that they captured, and 7 that they apportioned the land. The Gemara that determines how we know is Shev, Sheva, and Sheva. And you, the moment you came in, you were already chayav. Kevin shenichnasim nischayavtem. Avosecha lo nischayav v'achakanu kula, v'latem rishon rishon kanu mischayav. Your avos were not mischayav until they captured the whole thing. And you, whatever you captured, whatever you were kone, was mischayav. Klomal, kevan shebi'er rishon hayta derech kibush, since the first bi'er was coming to Eretz Yisrael, was conquering, so when the kibush wasn't completed, they weren't zochet Eretz Yisrael, but the second bi'er was not an Indian of kibush. Whatever they got, whatever they acquired, they were zochet. No Indian of kibush. And we have to be mitzarei if we have to add here the distinction of the Rambam between the first Kedusha and the second Kedusha, that the first Kedusha was Kadosh L'Shaita but wasn't Kadosh L'Sid Lava. The Kedusha Shnia was Kadosh L'Shaita and also Kadosh L'Sid Lava. Famously, the Rambam says that, and the Rambam says why. Why is the first Kedusha not Kitcha L'Sid Lava and the second Kedusha yes Kitcha L'Sid Lava? Because the first Bia was Ayidei Kibush. And since the Kibush was Batal, the Kedusha was also Batal. But the second Bia wasn't Beglal the Kibush. It wasn't because they captured it. It was because they held onto it. Not because they did a Kibush, but because they were Machzik. They grabbed onto the land. Not because they captured it from the enemy. They just came and they didn't have to capture. They had permission. And therefore, it's not totally in the matzav of kibush. So even if the goyim recaptured it, doesn't matter because our original kinyan on it wasn't done through conquering. So therefore, when they conquer it, when the goyim conquer it, it doesn't nullify what we did, our chazaka. So we see from here that dafka the onesh of the chisaron of yad rama and biyashnia, that onesh was a kli machzik bracha for the portion of the Jewish people, for the inheritance of the Jewish people, that through this chisaron, because they didn't come in the second time, al yidei kibush, because of that, we are chayev techef in kibush in mitzvah ha'aretz. We only were chayev after 14 years, because the first time, because we had to do kibush. But now, since we were, even though it was a punishment that we weren't able to come in the second time with kibush, but there was also a bracha. And like I always try to point out, every punishment you see a hidden bracha. Like if Cook says, Stam, an example about a woman who gives birth, so there's a punishment of Chava that pregnancy and birth is not going to be the most pleasant of experiences necessarily, but there's also a bracha there. And the bracha is that a mother is much more connected to the child than the father is. The mother is carrying around that baby for 9 months, the mother is very connected. Mele. When you see a klala, you have to find the hidden bracha. So what's the hidden bracha of kibush hasheni? What's the hidden bracha of kibush hasheni? The hidden bracha of Kibush Hashem, of not being kovish the second time, is that you're right, we didn't have these super duper miracles, no fancy stuff, but we were chayv immediately in mitzvah satluyus baretz, as opposed to that's even better than our forefathers. They had to wait 14 years. And not only that, but it remained holy, kitchel asid lavo, Eretz Yisrael remained holy, retained its holiness, even after we left the land, because it wasn't totally in Kibush in the first place. So now that the goyim are kovish, it doesn't lose its kedusha. So that's Darkei Hashem, Shelefamim, Sam Shel Chayim, Ganusu, Mekupal Betocha Eres Shel Gufa Makah. Sometimes you see Derech Hashem, that there is a elixir of life which is hidden in the poison of the Makah. V'lemidianu b'zeh tuv tam v'dat b'sid, I added the word dat. V'lemidianu b'zeh tuv tam b'sidran shel malchuyot, Shedafka l'acha gulat paras b'ayhi gulut yavan. So, dafka after, we understand the Malchios. After Gulas Paras, we have Gulas Yavan. Gulas Paras was Biashnia. So now we have this Chiddush of Kitchel Asid Lavo, that all the Gerishin and all the Galios Min Haaretz are not going to be Mafkia, are not going to remove the Kiddush Eretz Yisrael that we made. So Klapei Zeh comes Gulas Yavan with its Chiddush Neuro, and its Mafkia, the Maton of Eretz Yisrael. So they said, hey, kicking you out of the land isn't going to work, so what are we going to try to do? We're going to keep you here, and we're going to make it a Gulas within Eretz Yisrael. That's the Be'eretz Lo Lahem within Eretz Yisrael. So right after Golas Paras, which established that there's nothing they can do, it's Kishad Lasid Lavo, all the Gerishim, all the removing of the Jews from Eretz Yisrael isn't going to help. So what the Yavan tried to create was a Golas within the Geul of Eretz Yisrael, within the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So we learn from this, it emerges, that this Haftacha Ve'etivcha Me'avosecha, that the second Be'ah is going to be better than your forefathers, didn't achieve its shleimus until the redemption from Yavan, because until the redemption of Yavan, the Haftacha had a kiyum chaser upogun. So even though the time they came in Ezra, they already had a tavame avos, it was already better than the forefathers because they were chayiv immediately, like we saw before from Chazal. However, that's a part of the punishment, that there was, it was not biyad ramah. So it wasn't a complete hatava. Because they still didn't have the Yad Ramah. You're right, immediately they were chayv in mitzvahs, so there was a bracha there, but there was still not the Yad Ramah. And now, in the time of Gulas Yavan, you also have the Yad Ramah. And that's the adifus of the Geula of Yavan, that we have the Yad Ramah, and now the Bias Ezra is made complete. We have the bracha of Bias Ezra that they're chayv and mitzvahs immediately. We don't have to wait for the kibush. And now we also have the Yad Ramah aspect, that we were able to have miracles and overcome our enemies. So then we have the completion of the Hekesh from the time of Bias Yehoshua. Saying, ladies and gentlemen, this man is a phenomenon. He is something special, something unique. Mi yiten lanu tmurasa, Rabbosai. If we could have somebody like Rafutnu today, it would be wonderful. But after they made him, they broke the mold. But Baruch Hashem, lo alman Yisrael, we have Baalei Machshava, we have Baalei Svara, we have Baalei Mikra, Baalei Mishnah. A lot of people learning Torah, a lot of good Yiddish Keplach. So, but a Pachad Yitzchak we don't seem to have. Okay, but we take what we have and we enjoy every page. Baruch Hashem, he left us with a nice amount of writing. So Nekudas HaPisga, this is the last Ois in the Maimer Yud Gimel. Nekudat HaPisga, the peak. Shel Kol Dvareinu. וזה היא התפיסה הברורה כי ההבטחה שנתנה בתורה על מצב ההטבה מאבות בהכרח שהיא הבטחה על גאולת יוון. שהרי רק על ידי המהלך המיוחד של גלות יוון וגאולתה נוצרה שלשלת שתבטא טבעתה האחרונה היא השלמות הגדולה של ההטבה מאבות. That the haftacha that was given in the Torah of ve'hitivcha me'avosecha, it's going to be better for us than for our avos, is a haftacha on gaulas yavon. So we have Geulas, the special mahalach of the Geulas of Yavan and the Geula, And that completed the Hatava Me'avos. And now we also had the Nisim, the Yad Rama, just like when we came into the time of Yahushua. So it's Pashat and Barur that the holiday of Hanukkah that was established for the Gula of Yavon includes within it all the Shleimus Hagadola of Hatava Me'avos. Me'acharei Shatava Zuhi Atzura Shel Gulat Yavon Shenit Parsha B'Torah. Because that's the... This Hatava is the Gulas Yavon that was explained in the Torah. Remember we said before that in the Bris Bein Hapsarim it says that it alludes to Gulas Yavon as well. So Hanukkah, which celebrates Gulas Yavon, is going to encapsulate the Hatava Me'avos, because B'yashnia is Hatava Me'avos. The Torah talks about Gulas Yavon, and Gulas Yavon, or Galus Yavon, but the Geula from Galus Yavon is the Hatava Me'avos Ve'Tivcha Me'avosecha, that there is a preference of Chanukah over the Bir Rishona of Yehoshua, because here we had first of all that the Kedush of Eretz Yisrael will never be nullified from the time of Ezra, because it wasn't done Ali Dei Kibush, and we also have the miracles of Chanukah. And so what was the greatness, what was the Nekudas HaPiska, what was the peak point of the zenith, that was the word I was looking for, I like the word zenith. What was the zenith of Geulas Yavon? The fact that now we have a Malchus, that it's no longer Gullus in our own land. So, that's why the Rambam started, and he said that, first of all, the Rambam says that we have a Malchus. I mean, that's not what he says first, but I'll say first. The Rambam says we have Malchus, V'chazra Malchus li'Yisrael, Yeser al-Mataim Shana. Now we understand why it's so critical that we should have Malchus, because that was the whole goal. The whole goal is that we lost our Malchus in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gula is that we're going to have Malchus in Eretz Yisrael. And also, the Rambam says that it was Hatov of Bayis Sheni, that it happened in Bayis Sheni. Rambam doesn't use the Lashon of Hatava, but the Rambam says it happened in Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon belongs to the Avos, that's Me'avosecha, that's the Avos. Bayis Sheni are the Banim. So when you say that there's Hatava Me'avosecha, what you're really saying is that there's Hatava of Bayis Sheni over Bayis Rishon. The Avos are Bayis Rishon, Bir Rishon Yehoshua, and Bayis Sheni, that's the Banim. Vimkein, Shtomer, when you say that there's a hatava, there's an improvement in the situation of the sons over the situation of the fathers, so be'echrech, we have to say that this moed is shaykh dafka to Bayis Sheni, because that's the bonim, that's what Chanukah is all about, ve'itivcha me'avosecha. And mina, and from this we see that the Chazaras HaMalchus, HaGulas Yavon, Nechlel Si B'moed HaChanukah. The Chazaras HaMalchus is also included in the holiday of Chanukah. Ve'alo rak al yidei Chazarat Malchut Zo, Nitmalei HaChisaron Shel Biyad Rama D'Biyah Shniyah. Only through this Chazaras HaMalchus, we completed the Chisaron, we filled the Chisaron of Yad Rama in Bayis Sheni. There has to be Chazaras HaMalchus, because there was no Malchus when they first came in. They just took it over. They had Rishus. They didn't capture it. They didn't conquer it. And then they had a Gullus in their own land by the Yivanim taking over. And now we have the Yad Rama of restoring our Malchus. And then we complete the Hekesh of Havor Shnia L'Havor Rishona. That Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa. That we have a Hashlama now, that we're Makish, we equate Bia Shnia to Bia Rishona. That Bia Shnia, they're Nisim just like Bia Rishona. Originally that didn't happen, we came in the time of Ezra, it was suspended, but then it was completed in the time of Chanukah. And that is also a fulfillment of Ehitivcha Me'avotzecha, that Bia Sheni, which is the Tkufa of the Banim, is going to be better in certain respects from the Tkufa of the Avos. So this is a very, very beautiful Maimer. I don't know if Erfutner ever doesn't have a very, very beautiful name. The man hits a home run every single time. Sometimes it's a grand slam, but every time it's a home run. So, Ashreinu Shezachinu, Ashreinu Sheishlanu Rebbe Kazeh, My beloved and most sweetest friends, I wish you a wonderful day, and I give myself a bracha and you a bracha. Hopefully it's a bracha. For myself, it's certainly a bracha. That we should learn more together. Amen v'amen. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.